and audio. Okay, so let's continue a little bit with your best research. Got a question for you. I heard all the things you said. Now I'll put some things in just before we left. Best Screamio and songwriting reward. I can perform Screamio, and now I'm a pretty good songwriter. I'm getting paid to write songs for short films. And up and coming artists. Worse, learning Muay Thai boxing, and what I got out was a lot of body aches and blood. Okay, and songwriting. Very good now. How many of you have ever searched for something like an album or a CD that you really liked or heard, or a particular t-shirt or a dress, or a particular deal on an iPod or something, and you really had to work hard at it, and you were very proud that you were able to find something like that? Tell me about it, and tell me what you did.
Okay, well, one time I lost the USB cord for my MP3 player, so I had to look up online to see if I could buy another one for the model that I have. So what I did was put in the brand name and actually look through the distributors to see which one either had a better price or was a more credible source.
Usually I'm like on albums or songs and stuff like that, but my backing card, like, it wasn't working right when I first got the computer. So it's a wireless card that connects my computer to the internet. So I had to look on the distributor and everything and get another driver and download it and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, my mic is still at home. So it was better.
A little bit. Not your normal self, but a little bit. All right, keep it going. What was your reward for that kind of research?
Is this better? I think the reward in that case is just finding what you're looking for and that the price that you were looking for in this type of research.
Mira can't hear you at all right now. All right. Well, I want you to think about
right, it's like actually
alrighty. Yeah, that's y'all keep working and trying to cajole your baba and do everything you gotta do. I know y'all working hard to make it happen so that you can drop a cord and do some get wired. Because a wireless connection, we're sending a lot of information and audio and video across the lines, and wireless connections they vary just based on what's happening in the atmosphere and a number of other things that can do interference. So we'll work through it. What I want you to understand is that you do research all the time. All the time you do research. How to get someplace, how to get a good deal on something, how to find something for a friend. How many of you ever lost keys or went on a caper to find keys for your parents who've lost them, and you did research? Most of you have by now, given y'all's age and the age of your parents. You look for clues, you did an investigation. When's the last time you had it? Where do you usually put it? I want y'all to just let yourself be aware of those things that you do, because research is something that you do all the time. And so I just want you to translate that. Very good now. I can handle it. Never lost your keys. Then don't break the record. Never lose them. So now, just know that you do it all the time. Now I want to switch, because I promised you I would do some other things that are there. Yes, Isaac Charles, what you got? Okay. Let me. Thank you. Sister Sharifa. Hold on just a second, please. Class. Okay, I'm back. All right. Up in the sheet there that we have, there's something called the objective imposter. And one of the reasons that in the paragraph that Ife read, that the term research has been viewed with mystique in many people, and it seems to be the preserve of academicians and the professional elite, is because whenever you start doing any research, academic research, real research, it comes this thing called objectivity comes up. What is that? You've heard it before. That person's not objective. What is this objectivity stuff that comes up when you're doing research? Have you ever heard the word before? He's not being objective. She's not being objective. We must be objective. If it's no, y'all, just say no. I'm just checking out where you are. Objective is like a goal, right? Well, that's why we have to talk about this. Because one definition of objective is like a goal, but in this case, it's not. What is objectivity? Very good. Ife says like impartial. Okay. So with somebody that's supposed to be objective, and when you're doing research, you know, what's said is you're supposed to be objective. And this comes out of the West, out of European kind of worldview, and that is the researcher is supposed to essentially be like invisible and not interact with or taint the evidence so that they can really be sure, absolutely sure, that what they're observing has nothing whatsoever to do with them, and they are totally impartial, and it's a lie. There is no such thing as true objectivity. All right, here's a phrase. I want you to write it down. Objectivity is dominant culture subjectivity. Write it down. Objectivity is dominant culture subjectivity. Come on, folks. Come on. Thank you, Akila, Ife, Safia, Nasha. No, actually, that's not by me. That's by Hilda Gutierrez Baldoquin. She lives in San Francisco. I used to do work with her when I did visions work and did diversity. Hilda, H-I-L-D-A, Gutierrez Baldoquin. What is that you putting in there? When I type that, yeah, I got it. What that means is very often when Africans were researching stuff or challenging white researchers or oppression or white conclusions, we were often charged with not being objective. So when we said this is what we need for our community, this is how we need to see it, this is how we need to, you know, we need to stand up and have things look out for our community, people are saying, well, you're not being objective. And it really throws a lot of black folks for a loop, because it's like saying you're not being truthful. But of course, when they were saying you're not being objective, they were saying essentially you're not seeing things my way. You're not seeing things our way. Okay? Now, so the notion that you are a piece of stone that has no bias towards something at all is just absolutely insane. And in Africa and in many Asian countries, that never is the objective in the first place. You, in fact, use your own personal relationship and your own personal experience. Now, you know that your personal experience is not the whole of the experience. At the same time, you don't try to deny your personal experience, okay? So we're going to talk more about that later, but this notion, as you read, you may see things that have to do with objective and need to be objective. What's important is to let's look at an alternative to objectivity, okay? so that we're not running around saying that we're objective, because I don't want you, you don't even need to pretend, okay? But there is an alternative. What do you think are some alternatives to being objective, which is essentially, let me just give you a little bit more so you can see how deep that goes. If down number 5 where it says research process tips, I'm going to click on that where it says research, number 5, the research process where East meets West, and West other lies and some truth. All right, I'm going to scroll there, and I want to let's see here. Let's read this quickly, just because this is a little bit of inoculation here, and it's what really gets people stuck. So, let's start with the beginning, and let's have it broken. Who's that here? Nasha, would you read the first 3 paragraphs? And Brother Sean, would you read the second 3 paragraphs? That'll take us all the way down to problem recognition and definition.
We understand the world by asking questions and searching for answers. Our construction of reality depends on the nature of our inquiry. Until the 16th century, human inquiry was primarily based on introspection. The way to know things was to turn inward and use logic to seek the truth. This paradigm had endured for a millennium and was a well-established conceptual framework of understanding the world. The seeker of knowledge was an integral part of the inquiry process. A profound change occurred during the 16th and 17th centuries. Compared to Kelleher, Galileo, Descartes, Bacon, Newton, and Locke presented new ways of examining nature. Our method of understanding the world came to rely on measurement and quantification. Mathematics replaced introspection as the key to the same truth. The scientific revolution was born. Oh, you guys can't hear me? Oh, can you hear me any better now? Great, I turned my mic up, so. I'll start on the, I guess I'll just start on the second paragraph. I guess that's when I was choppy, or the second sentence of the, okay. Our method of understanding the world came to rely on measurements and quantification. Mathematics replaced introspection as the key to supreme truth. The scientific revolution was born. Objectivity became a critical component of the new scientific method. The investigators was an observer rather than a participant in the inquiry process. A mechanistic view of the universe evolved. We believed that we could understand the whole by performing an examination of the individual parts. Experimentation and deduction became the tools of the scholar. For 200 years, the new paradigm fully evolved to become part of the reality framework of society. The age of enlightenment had arrived.
Okay, before Brother Sean comes on with the last part, let's just go over a few of these words. Nasha, you did such a great job. I love your word attack skills. You didn't stop. You figured it out. You didn't give up. And you did a great job pronouncing the words and making them make sense. First paragraph, our construction of reality depends upon the nature of our inquiry. What is that saying? Our construction of reality depends upon the nature of our inquiry. Break it down for me. I'm in the first paragraph, the second sentence, the very top. Break it down. What does that mean to you? Quickly, y'all.
I think it means like what you see as real or what you think of as real depends on what you're learning from, like, the questions that you're asking and everything, and what you're learning, what you know from the questions that you're asking.
Bingo, yeah, right on the money. The whole piece, nature of our inquiry, it's our construction of reality, depends on the questions that we ask, okay? So what I want you to understand is that how you see the world will be based on the questions that you ask. All right, so just keep that in mind. Now, then they start going into this whole 16th century, and so human inquiry, that is the process of human beings asking questions, was based on introspection. What's that, y'all? What's, guess, if you don't know, guessing is great at IA Education Institute. What's introspection? Don't look it up right now. We're just guessing. We're pulling from what we already know. Or from the context clues. Until the 16th century, human inquiry was based on introspection. What does that mean? What do you think the prefix means? Okay, Aquila says, a varied way of looking at things. That's a great guess. A great guess. It's not true. But it's a good guess. Anybody else want to guess? Now, jump in the fray. Introspection. What do you think it is?
Maybe kind of like curiosity.
Close. You're getting warm. Safi, what do you say? Akanke. Where's Akanke? Akanke is gone. Oh! Okay. A way of figuring things out. Okay. Alright. What's the prefix, y'all? What's the prefix? Alright, now hit it on the head. Looking inside. Okay? Introspection. Out, intro, inward. Introspection. So, until the 16th century. Now, when they say until the 16th century, now this is, you, what did we talk about universalism, the syntax of oppression? Where do you see that in there? Remember we talked about that. We introduced that in our comparative government class from Marimba Anis, Urugu. Where in this sentence, until the 16th century, human inquiry was primarily based on introspection? Where is the racism?
You don't know whether they're talking about BC or AD, or, you know, different people, different groups of people had a lot of different stuff going on at that time, and they're not addressing that at all.
Right, I would guess that they're just going off of, like, what was happening in Europe at the time or something like that. They weren't really talking about, like, everybody in the world, I would guess.
And they're also not saying, like, how they know that whatsoever, because, I mean, they weren't here during the 16th century or before the 16th century, so it's kind of like, what is that based on? Because there was so much history before then, there's no account for any of that.
Y'all hit it on the head. It's all that. You can go right to it, and of course they don't need to know anything before that because nothing else mattered. That's the point. And if we keep on past the sentence and we don't identify it, okay, we will be buying into racism and white supremacy and not even knowing it. Until the 16th century, human inquiry. Human inquiry? Really? It's interesting. All of mankind, you know, all of humankind did this. All right, now, that may or may not be true, but, you know, if they're talking about white folks, then they need to be talking about white folks, okay? Now, if they're talking about others, you just want to watch out for mankind, human inquiry, and stuff like that. It may be true, but you just want to watch it, okay? All right, the way to know things was to turn inward and use logic to seek the truth, blah, blah, blah. The next word here is paradigm. What is that? Is that a paradigm, like, you know, 20 cents? What's a paradigm? You got 30 seconds. Look it up or guess. 30 seconds. 29, 28, 27, 26, 25, 24, 23, 22, 21, 20, 19. Good guess. Not quite, but good guess. All right, somebody has it. All right, systematic arrangement of all the inflect. Oh, I don't know what that is. You got to give me a definition that you at least understand. All right, keep going. 15, 14, 13, 12, 10, 9, 8, 7, six, five, four, three, two. All right, now it says a philosophical or theoretical framework of any kind. Okay, all right. This paradigm, that is, what were they just talking about in the previous sentence? This way of looking at things, this way of doing things, okay? It is a way, it is an approach, okay? And it's often called a paradigm. All these words we're putting in, these are going to be your vocabulary words, so just put them in your vocabulary section, okay? I didn't intend to us to go as deep into this part, but I just want you to have them. I did want you to see this page, so we'll just have to deal with it. This paradigm, that is this way of thinking and doing and way of asking questions, okay, based on introspection, this way, this paradigm, had endured for a millennia. How long is a millennia? Quickly. All right. And the next word here is conceptual framework. What in the world is that? Guess.
It seems like sort of the same thing as a paradigm, almost, but kind of a frame of mind that's sort of defined by a concept.
You got it. Part of academia is making your speech over much. It's the same thing. This way of seeking knowledge and truth had endured for 1,000 years. It was a well-established way of doing things and thinking and solving problems, okay? And anyway, so it's built on the notion of concept, all right? So this particular idea, all right? Now, the other folks, I want you to know for another class, so you just might as well write them down. These are European Copernicus, Kepler, Galileo, Descartes, Bacon, Newton, Locke. And when we deal with more with Marimba Ani Shirugu, we're gonna deal with them boys, okay? But right now we'll just leave them be. All right. So now also I want you to do the same thing when you're reading something like this, okay? Just break it down, see what the words mean, know how to say it in your own voice, okay? So the way we broke paradigm down, introspection, you do the same thing, and very often you can summarize it with a lot less words, okay? All right, now, so all of this is talking about they shifted from this what he's calling Europeans shifted from this introspective way to a more mechanistic, and that's the word, Nasha, you were dealing with, mechanistic. Let me hear you pronounce that, mechanistic. Yes, Keela, you may. All right, so that was the word. Sean, would you read the next three, and then we'll talk about why we're calling this a myth. All right.
Mechanistic.
Did you want me to read from where?
From objectivity became a critical component down to problem recognition. You can stop right before problem recognition definition. You're starting with the fourth paragraph and stopping right at the bold print that says problem recognition and definition.
Then something remarkable happened. Einstein proposed that the observer was not separate from the phenomena being studied. Indeed, his theory of relativity actually stressed the role of the observer. Quantum mechanics carried this step further and stated that the act of observation could change the thing being observed. The researcher was not simply an observer, but in fact was an integral part of the process. In physics, Western and Eastern philosophies have met. This idea has not been incorporated into the standard social science research model, and today's social science community see themselves as objective observers in this phenomena being studied. However, it is an established principle of measurement that instruments react with the things they measure. The concept of instrument reactivity states that an instrument can itself disturb the thing being measured.
Very good. So the summary of that, just for a speed sake, thank you so much, Sean. And we love hearing that baby in the background. We're that's what we are. We're a family-friendly school, and so no worries. the oh, you should. Oh, baby, these houses tune up sometime, right? Right, Nasha? Right, Akilah? Oh, sometimes it tunes up up in here. So you're at home. Their scientists start saying, there's really no such thing as being totally separated from this, from what we're measuring. And of course, they call out Einstein and then quantum physics and all of that, getting back to what Africans have talked about for centuries. There's an African proverb that I remember. It is, only when you have crossed the river can you say that a crocodile has a knot on his snout. When they're talking about human inquiry and the process, they're talking about the European struggle. Later on, they talk about the Eastern philosophy, and it stresses the importance of one seeking knowledge and blah, 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 blah. And so since they started tearing things apart and tearing apart and tearing them apart mechanistically, and what they found is the more they tear them apart, the more it ends up being oneness. And so they couldn't get away with it. And we'll talk more about it. The point that I want to drive this home to you is, as you leave IA and you go other places, as you do research, and even as people come, as you're making a presentation, people may question your objectivity. That is, were you objective in your assessment? As you are comparing African countries and Africa before trouble with the U.S. government, then are you being objective in the process? Okay, is a question that someone may hit you with. And why I want you to have some background is that there's an alternative to pretending that you are objective. I don't even use the word, okay? I'm fair, I'm balanced. That's an alternative, okay? I don't pretend to be objective. And particularly when it has something to do with me and my family. I'm not objective. Objective is not only am I not, it is not a goal. Now, it is important that I am fair. It is important that I'm balanced. It is important that I'm open to truth and many different things that may come up. Okay? So fair and balanced is my short version of that. Okay? So, you know, so answer to the question up there in terms of what's an alternative, you can just put fair, balanced, and open to a conclusion that I might not have anticipated. Put those down. You might type them in the text chat. Fair, balanced, open to a conclusion that I may not have anticipated. Okay? But to say that I don't have a goal, I don't have a preference, is not the case. When I have been beat down by these Europeans and the European Constitution and the people who use it, alternately to beat me down or hoodwink me, I'm not going to be objective about it, okay? I'm coming at it with an edge, okay? And when you're coming at something with a particular bent, don't try to deny it. Claim it and stand on it. Now, y'all, this is important, because very often, if somebody hits you with you're not objective, then embedded in that is somehow you're supposed to be. Okay, and when I'm dealing with telling the truth about my people, uncovering and challenging racist notions and beliefs, I'm not trying to be objective. Okay, I have a mission. Okay, I have a goal, and so, you know, that's there. So being clear about what your goal is important, and you stand on that goal. All right. Now, there's another piece we have to deal with, and that is the truth imposter. All right, what do you think I mean by that? We've dealt with the objective imposter, all right? Now, y'all know what an imposter is, right? So what do you think I'm talking about when I say the truth imposter? I'm glad you're back, Akanke.
It might be somebody who acts like they're telling the truth, and, you know, they're really just kind of making it up, or what they really think they're telling the truth or something.
Yes, Azachar, you may. Anamira, that may be one. Indeed. Any others? the truth imposter. Well, in this case, this actually may not even be an intentional thing. Two people can look at the same thing and see two different things, right? They both are looking at the same thing from different vantage points. One can see the glass as half empty, for example. Another can see it as half full. Which one is true?
Both, because they just are both filling up the same amount of water. They're just seeing it in different ways.
That's right. They're seeing it in different ways. And in this case, they're not necessarily even seeing it from different angles and getting different sensory data. It's based on their own internal perception and past and history and attitude that they are, in fact, seeing it. One is half empty and the other one's half full. But you keep that in mind. Two people can see the same thing even from the same vantage point, the same physical vantage point. Two people can read the same research and pull different things from it. Okay, based on their own particular history. Okay, and certainly if someone is looking at a car accident and one person is looking at it from one direction, another person looking at another direction, they may see different things, and they both said, this is what I saw, and they're telling the truth. Okay, so truth depends upon your values, your history, and your vantage point. Would you put that in there? Truth depends on your values, your history, and your vantage point. Okay? So, that's a key piece in this. All right? Another key piece is diurnal thinking. Now, I want you to tell the truth. I want you to look for the truth. At the same time, it really depends upon your value, your history, and your vantage point. Now, diurnal thinking. Another way of saying diurnal thinking is both and thinking. All right, now, Nala, are you with me? Very good. Truth depends on your values, your history, and your vantage point. Great. Both and thinking. Okay? That is, this is an African cultural strength and value, and that is the unity of opposites. I am so happy to be here teaching you right now, and I wish I was in my bed. Now, both of those are true, and I can't be doing both of them. Okay? In a similar way, as we are studying, as a research and problem solver, you might find that our people are both great and messed up. Both of those may be true. That those who are historic enemies are maybe even diabolical and also ingenious and smart. You with me? Diurnal thinking. Okay? If you go with either or, everything that Europeans have ever done or created is whack. Okay? Everything that we've ever done is wonderful and right. It ain't gonna be like that. Okay? So, what's called both and thinking, the unity of opposites. Two opposing things can be true. All right, that's going to be critical for you as you're doing this research and looking into us. All right, I'm going to go down later on. I'm going to take you to the emotional literacy chart, but let's just talk a little bit about this, and y'all can raise questions and whatever. Akilah, I've heard Naeem Akbar with Africa. Is right. It's not either or. It's well, we call it both and, or not. And it's fine. It's splitting hairs whether you want to call it either and. The key is that it's called the unity of opposites. And if two opposing things can be true at the same time. And what makes us a more mature people, and we're older, and we know, just like when you get older and your own age, you know, it's not just, I got to have the ice cream, you know, at any cost. You know, the older you get, the more mature you get, the more life is not just cut and dried, you know, that way. And so as the oldest people on the earth, we have that in our DNA and in our culture and our perspectives, okay? So that's a little bit of history of that. Now, let's deal with this emotional literacy and how it can make you a better researcher. Now, typically, Europeans will tell you that when you're researching stuff, to control your emotions and keep them out, because they can get you in trouble. I don't do that. We don't do that. That's not the IO way, okay? And for those of you who haven't been presented yet, you will be presented what's called feelings as messengers. Right now, being emotionally literate means reading my feelings. So sometimes, if I read something about when I was reading the 19th century, yes, Akilah, the 19th century black nationalists like Martin Delaney. Martin Delaney was a strong and staunch nationalist. And when the Civil War broke out, it looked like freedom and Africans were fighting and had been fighting, and we won that whole peace for ourselves. And he joined the war as a general to organize black people, not as a general, colonel, some leader. And he was also then hamstrung because he'd become to depend on it in his later years whenever the Reconstruction hit and black people in South Carolina was raising up. He actually took on a more conciliatory role than he did earlier in his life. Okay, so here is my great Martin Delaney, but and I'm also sad that he also made a wrong move or bent a little bit, or he didn't maintain that staunchness throughout. Okay, so my being sad about that and not substituting one or the other or blocking that really made me a better researcher. Okay, so, and we'll talk more about it. I don't want to take all the time, but I really want to go through this and boom. So just put in your thing that we'll deal with emotional literacy. Are y'all getting me that piece here? Why, what I mean by being emotionally literate can help you be a better researcher. So in this case, my accepting his doing that and my sadness about it allowed me to stay with him and tell the truth about his story, including that part. If not, then when I'm retelling the story, I will leave that part out, or I just take him completely off the radar screen. Okay? That being emotionally literate makes you a better researcher. Now, the flow of recognition, how that can make you a better researcher. Let's just skip that one and go to the next one. How to make yourself a better researcher by affirming ourselves and our people. As we're studying our people and what we did, what we have done, what we're doing, if we affirm ourselves and our people, if we identify with our people through good times and bad, then we're able to hear and see when our people are doing good and identify them, and when our people are doing bad, okay? However that's defined. So, for example, in Aya, we do not say the slaves they. First, we don't say the slaves at all, but we don't say African people, they. We say African people we, okay? Because we identify with our people during good times and bad. We don't, it's us when we're winning, and it's them when we're losing or we're not doing well, okay? And that means as you are studying Haiti and as you are studying Jamaica and as you're studying Tanzania, and you find some things that, that we did that may not have been cool. It may have intended to be or whatever, but if you can still hold on to those people as great people, even though everything that they did wasn't great, then you'll be a better researcher. Okay, this is how you become fair and balanced, okay? Not by pretending that you're objective and pretending that you're a machine and it's mechanistic, but by actually being mature about your approach, okay? Now, in order for you to do this for our people, you're going to have to do this for yourself. So let's go on into that next bullet. Giving yourself and our people permission and time to be both great and struggling. So you are all geniuses. And sometimes you act like ignoramuses. Bob Wakessa is a genius, and sometimes I don't even know what time it is. Ask Mama Fia. Okay? You want to give yourself and our people, permission and time. Okay? We can be at the pinnacle of success, and we can be still budding as we continue to grow. So as you're researching wherever our people are going and whatever you're finding out about the story, you just don't abandon our folks. If it's stuff that we got to work through, it's just some things we got to grow through. Sometimes it'll seem like we have to grow through it because you're looking at it from your vantage point. If you stay with it, you may learn that actually it's a better way. Okay? So the key is not abandoning our people. Are y'all with me here? Okay, I need some feedback on these before we go to the next one. Give me a little feedback. Why y'all feeling me? Have you ever had a star and you found out something negative about them? You know, somebody that you thought was really great. Doesn't have to be a movie star, or it could be. And it could be a parent, it could be a grandparent, it could be a older brother, sister, and whatever. So how'd you deal with it?
It wasn't necessarily like, you know, something that I found out about the person. Just like one of my favorite artists, like I found out that she had made this music video, and it was so corny, and it was just like so not her. And so I guess after I found that out, it didn't really change what I felt about her music, but it kind of did. I don't know.
Yeah, that's happened to me a lot with my favorite artists, because they'll be like conscious or semi-conscious or making good music about good stuff, and then some type of series, like a lot of times they don't get enough like recognition or attention or money or whatever, because they're doing stuff that people don't really want to hear. So they go and do what some people call sellout, or something similar. Or, like, a lot of times they just have change of hearts, and they be like, well, that wasn't the real me, you know, this is the real me now, and then they be, like, just on a totally different level. So sometimes I get real sad, but normally I just listen to, like, the older stuff that, you know, made me feel great about them, and I don't necessarily, like, throw them away, because a lot of times they come back with some good stuff, or a lot of times, like, they're still, you know, good, like they can still sing or they still have the qualities that, you know, drew me to them. But it might be, you know, just something else where I can't really connect with them on that one album, like they went kind of crazy.
Alright, here's another truism. Excellent. With enough information, all behavior makes sense. Doesn't mean you agree with it, but you'll be able to understand it and maybe even appreciate it. All behavior makes sense with enough information. I knew a man who refused, a black man who refused to eat leftovers. And I thought he was just whack, man, because, one, I like leftovers, okay? I mean, the seasoning gets in there and whatever, and boom, okay? And particularly because I like to cook, and, you know, man, I have to cook for my family. And so this dude, you know, didn't eat leftovers. I thought it was just wasteful. And then I was talking to my mother, and she said his family grew up eating garbage, they were so poor they literally had to eat, you know, garbage on the street, from on the street, eat out of trash cans. And so when he worked his way up where he was working and whatever, he just vowed that he wouldn't eat leftovers, okay? Now, I didn't have that kind of experience, and so I didn't, you know, need that kind of reaction, or I didn't choose to react in that kind of way, but I didn't have that kind of experience. My point is, with enough information, all behavior makes sense, okay? So, you want to, as you're researching, take in the information, question everything. But taking the information, we don't want you just to be syrupy sweet and ignoring things that, you know, that would make you sad, okay? Because it can lead you to some good things. Had I decided that this guy was just whack, okay, then I would not know how to get in, how to connect with this man, okay? And this is very important because this man was my stepdad, okay? And so knowing that, then I respect it, that that was his choice and why, what it came from. All right. So in a similar way, if you are able to do that, you'll still be able to connect with our people as you are doing the research. Okay. All right. A couple other points, and then I want to go to your papers. Okay. We're down to the last two bullets. Letting prove to them that we are somebody die to make you a better researcher. Okay. You are not trying to prove to white folks that we are somebody. Okay. Many times when we're doing research about our people, in the back of our heads, we're guided by, well, we're going to show them. They ain't think we had this, but we had that. Okay. I encourage you to let it go. Okay. The question is, if you're proud of something that we did, if you're proud of it, you know, if you like it, if you think it's a good thing, then put it in there. Then write about it. Then talk about it. Okay. But not because you're trying to, in your own head, prove to white folks in your head anything. Okay? If you think it helps move our people forward, if you think it was a good thing for our people, if you think it's a good model, inspirational to you or whatever, or if you think it's a lesson that we can learn from it, okay, that will make our way better, then you put it there. But please, do not be choosing what you're going to be selecting based on, in your head, trying to prove to white folks anything. Now, let's talk about that a little bit. How might you do that? How might, in your research of African history and the governments and the countries, how might you do that? How might you have already been doing some of that? How might the prove to them that we're somebody have guided your research already? Or might guide your research if you don't look out for it. Give me some examples.
I don't know. That's kind of hard because I don't think I really go from those standards. At the same time, I sort of do something similar, but I think it's coming from a different place of, like, not using their standards. So, like, when I'm looking up the Constitution, for example, I did a lot of research on the history of it last night, and one of the things was, like, that kept coming up was, like, the U.S. Constitution is the oldest sustained written constitution in the world or something like that. And so because I know, you know, technically that's true, but what comes up because of that, like, I put in bold, like, italicized, underlined, written, because it wasn't the first constitution in the world. It was a whole lot of other constitutions that came before then. And then even written, people have written constitutions, but they're not still using the same constitution, you know. So I sort of go from that. That sort of guides my research. I don't think that's what you're talking about. Okay.
Well, clearly, if there are statements that are wrong, you want to do it. And there's certainly going to be energy that you have to challenge white supremacy when it comes, like humankind, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. And as we go through, if I suspect some of that, then I'll tell it to you as we go along. And because it's a slippery one between how do you challenge white supremacy and how you not get caught into proving to them. One of the ways it happens is when we started studying our history and culture and some numbers, very often we would use them as a guide. So if they had kings and queens, then when we went to studied our past and culture, we looked for kings and queens. Never mind that the queen mother may have been the most powerful thing, okay? Never mind that the priest or the shaman may have been the most influential. Never mind that the griot may have been most influential. They had kings and queens, but we're going to show you we got kings and queens, okay? In that way, we were still guided by trying to prove that we're somebody and using their standards, okay? So on one level, you can challenge something like, the yeah, okay, Sean, you want to say something about that? Come on. I like what you put.
Yeah, I was just saying that. Oh, my picture showed up. Cool. I was just saying that when you guys go off to college, you're going to find yourself in a position where it's a little more difficult to kind of stay centered, and it's a little easier for you right now in an African-centered institution to bring these truths up to the forefront. But when you find yourself in a college campus where you may be the only black person in your classroom, or you may have very few black teachers, you know, it might be a little more difficult to stay centered in that. So just to kind of put yourself in that mind frame now is good practice.
Ashe, and that's what we really are doing, Sean. We want to give them what they need so that they produce good work here, and we anticipate what they're going to be doing. There's a course called Five Theories, Sean, that Brother Osafo teaches and will be teaching in the spring semester, where the students have to, again, do a 25-page paper or so, and they have to produce their own theory of personality, their own theory of education, their own theory of spirituality, their own, you know, it's called Five Theories. If you go to our website, it's explained there. But literally, because when you go to college and people have you studying one person's white person's theory, another white person's theory, and we have never thought about the theoretical framework of our existence. My mother has a theoretical framework. My father has a paradigm. That he operated from. He has a philosophy and a theory about how to build his business and how to, you know, chop up a car for the junkyard, how to paint, how to cook, how to whatever. Except for ours is generally not talked about within the context of a theoretical framework, so that we have students actually leave us going ready with their own theory of education, gleaned from their parents, their grandparents, what they have themselves in their own culture. So you really are right on, and that's part of what this part is also, having folks take a look at it. And here, the doorway, Sean and other students, of letting them in and not standing our ground is often our abandoning ourselves. So knowing the difference between when I'm challenging a statement, you know, like humankind, or like this is the longest constitution, blah, 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 and when I'm elevating, investigating and elevating, you know, my people, you know, it took a while for us to realize that just saying they had kings and queens, we had kings and queens, still some people haven't even gotten out of that, okay? They had big buildings, we had big buildings. Well, I suppose we didn't have, when we didn't have big buildings, was that not so wonderful? It was not anything to learn, it wasn't anything great out of Ujamaa villages that weren't big buildings. But if we're guided by showing that we're just as smart as them by we doing the same thing they did, then we'll actually miss some things for our people, okay, and some of the wisdom of our people. So that's that, you know, and I'll be reminding you of that as we go through. Last thing, if you want to satisfy yourself, then ask for yourself, and that becomes a legitimate research goal. So if I want to know, you know, what white folks did, what black people did, you remember when Bubba Clark asked the question, what did our people do? And he asked this white guy he was working for, and he said, well, you know, John, your people haven't done anything. They haven't done anything in the world. Well, his quest was he wanted to know what we did. Now, in doing so, he would, of course, prove the white guy wrong, but he was guided by what we did, okay? Otherwise, once he got enough information to prove him wrong, he would have stopped. But he had an appetite, and he wanted to know. So that you want to know how great we were, if you want to know how our governments ran and we had them, then that's a legitimate research goal. Again, you know, I want you to be centered in what is it that you're wanting to know, what is it that comes up, and not be guided just by what you're proving to other white folks, okay? Now, this is a stretch for you because as young people, you're ready to slap somebody upside the head. And I'm glad, okay? I ain't mad at you at all, okay? Same time, we don't want you to do it in a way that really throws you off key. All right. So save this sheet. This is on the wiki site. We'll come back and deal with emotional literacy and the flow of recognition so that you'll see how that is. Similarly, on the sheet, there are research tips, and I want to point you to the first one under research tips. That's the best one. I want you to go through that in terms of the research process. You'll see on the left-hand side, steps in the process, defining your research needs, developing a research strategy, conducting the search. Some of it will fit with what you're doing. Some of it won't because I'm providing, as we broke it down through the weeks, it gives a sense of that's part of the exploratory. But you'll find some things here. You're expected to go through this just take notes on it and whatever. This is from the site at North Carolina State University up in Raleigh, a good racist white university, about 30 miles from two more great white racist universities. Alright, that's that process there. They have some excellent books. I love to go in the stacks. I mean, if I could right now just go, I would go and stay all day. They got a lot of our history and a lot of our information in the stacks there. All right, so there's one more I want to bring your attention to. They have the asterisk biome in the section. So that one I just showed you by NCCU, and this other one under kinds of research. We will deal with this at another time, but this is a transition back into our essays. If you'll see the types of research, they and the purpose of the research dovetails with some of the writing. Remember, we're doing exploratory and expository writing. We talk about descriptive, analytical. They also talk about predictive in terms of types of research. So we're going to use this as a page to go back and forth from as we go through and shape out, you know, what your paper will be. Again, take good notes as you go through it, right? Begin to see the things that may spark your interest, because you'll then combine these things and have a particular focus. But you must have a 25-page, single space, typed, no double space, single space, footnotes, no big type, 12-point type. So you're going to be doing a lot of research and putting it together, and you'll be looking at whether or not you'd want it to be exploratory, more descriptive, analytical, and whatever. Well, Ife's paper that she did last year was, I think, about 12 type single space pages. So we're only talking about doubling that. Okay. All right. Now. No, it wasn't double space. It's not double space. It may have been 1.5, but it definitely wasn't double space. All right. You definitely need to show it to me, because it's not. Anyway, what'd you say, Sean?
It was double space. It isn't anymore.
That's right. Family, students, if you keep notes every week, you will not have difficulty pulling your paper together. Now, if you are slouching every week and you're only doing this the night before and you don't put your sources down, okay, you're going to be in trouble, okay? I go back to the way that we've laid out for this course. You this has to be done before Kwanzaa. Over Kwanzaa, you have to present this three times and get feedback and questions, and you turn in the questions. Your final grade will consist of your final draft and the response from your presentation. Okay? You have to present this paper to at least, I think, I'm off my head, three or five different groups. Okay? And we're not talking about your family. Your family can be in the number, but it's got to be beyond your family. Okay? And then you take the questions and feedback from that audience and you write that up. You summarize that. You put that summarized feedback along with your paper that you have already had a final draft for. And that, when you bring that other paper back where you present it to those audiences and you got questions and their feedback, then come January 4th, when you bring that back, then you get your final grade. Okay? And that's just how that rolls. And we're here to help you and work you, have you work through it. But the core is keep doing the research every week. Okay. Now let's just switch. Where this class is over? What time? Remind me that I told you that I messed with time. So I think we have what? 15 minutes. Great. All right. So now, tell me about. Show me your process paper. Who would like to read your process paper? I think, no, we got process paper on the deck. For some of you who haven't done that, we have your comparative paper. Put the links in the text chat. Let me see your comparative papers. Let me see your process paper. Let me see your analysis paper or your revision if I've given you feedback on it. And if you got questions or comments, time, let me hear it.
Bible Kessa, I think I misunderstood the homework from last week because I did a descriptive analytical and exposition paper, so I think I definitely misunderstood your homework from last week. I think I did the wrong paper.
Well, you did, and I've gone on that several times, and actually, Akila, I don't know, okay, I don't like that, sister. You're a great writer. You were not assigned a descriptive paper. I'm glad you got them, so that's good. We'll use them. But now, we're going through a sequence, all right? We're going through a sequence, and the sequence, you know, is analysis, is process, is comparative and contrast, and other things, okay? So I scanned those books in, you know, for you, you know, work with you last time. All of you, I want y'all to have those, you know, they're laid out by lesson, okay? Well, if you had already done, the only person that did the analysis paper before was Akanke Nasha. So if you've done your analysis essay, then you only had two. Okay, you had a total of three. Akanke is the only one who only had two. Okay, so if you've already done them, then you may have already done the process paper as well. In which case, you don't have one. But what y'all brought to class last time, okay, is something different. Now we're supposed to be talking about the process. The comparison and contrast today. Okay. And guess what? You got another one coming. Y'all can't play with this, okay? These don't have to be long papers. These can be 750 words. They can be 5-10 paragraphs. Kanke, I'm sorry. You just may need to reboot. So tell me, you know, regardless of your understanding, put me a link to what you wrote. That's what I want to see right now. Give me what you got. All right, let me just do a roll call. Keela's getting the links. Ife, do you have anything to show? Yes or no? Ife, do you have anything to show? Yes or no? Give me the link now. Put the link in the text chat to whatever you have. you know, Akilah, you can put them on the new wiki page in the future. You can just log in. And the login convention is real simple. It's your first name, and it's your capital initial of your last name. And then when you go in, you can actually correct the page name. So Akilah A, all right, would be your login. Password is AYA200910. I'm not trying to, and then you can change the password when you go in. That's the password for everybody. And the login, I'll show you how to do that. If you're having some difficulty with the other, just make a page, and you know, you can just language arts and just create sub pages if you want to. Okay, that way when I ask for it, you can still give me the link, even if it's not any other wiki page. All right, you also can upload to the wiki as a file, whichever one you want to do. Okay, I'm looking for links. Y'all, let's talk about this process. Comparison and contrast. I definitely expected, given that the papers that you were doing, that you could easily do a comparison and contrast for language arts using the topics, what you were doing in your comparative government class. Now, Akilah, what is exposition? Please define that for me. So, exhibition paper. That's fine, but what is an exposition paper? What is exposition? Tell me. And, you know, in the exposition section, we were dealing with descriptive papers being exposition papers, analytical papers being exposition papers, comparison and contrast, process papers. Those were kinds of explanatory or exposition papers. Okay? So when you just say explanatory, it typically is going to be one or more of those, descriptive, analytical. Although it'll have some, it may have some of all, but predominantly it's going to be one or the other. Welcome back, Akanke. Appreciate your determination and keeping on. So tell me, Akilah, is this paper more descriptive, more process, more analytical? What's the bent on it? Is it more comparison and contrast? What's the bent on this paper?
Basically what I did was just went online and found some exposition prompts, and so I was writing it, and then I was still trying to figure out how it was explanatory. It was, you know, an exposition paper, but I still would say that it's exposition as a main direction.
Okay, folks, pull out your book. Pull out the material, please. And I want us to, in a summary fashion, deal with and get clear on. I want you to tell me, thank you, Akilah, what is the difference? Somebody on the talk now button. What's the difference between an analytical paper and a process paper? Give it to me.
Analytical paper is analyzing a subject, whatever you choose to analyze. And a process, I think you said, is laying out the process of something or telling how to go about a process.
Well, you're right in the same direction. I encourage you, when you're defining a word, you don't just use the same word. So to say analytical paper is when you're analyzing doesn't really help if someone doesn't know what analyzing is in the first place. It you might say what the questions you're answering, okay? And a process paper, you also said, it describes a process. Well, that's cute, you know, but if I don't know what a process is, to say it again is not going to help me. So what questions does the analytical paper seek to answer? What questions or purpose does a process paper seek to answer?
Okay, from my understanding, analyzing answers a why question, and it breaks whatever the subject is, breaks it down, and talks about the connections of why whatever question you're asking. So it could be, I could be analyzing you, and I could be answering why you brush your teeth the way that you do. So I would break down why this behavior happens, maybe connected to something in your childhood, et cetera, et cetera, and then answer the question why. And in a process essay, to my understanding, you're answering the question how primarily. How do you do it? How does it work? So if I'm dancing, then I might break down for you how or what comes first. Do I step left first or step right first and step three times, four times, blah, 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 in what order and how does it work?
Very good. I wanted to add, how does it work or how is it or was it? That is, process essay can be, this is how you make eggplant parmesan, or this is how you get to my house. These are the steps. They also can answer the question, how either is it or was it? Okay? And that would also be process essay. I do want you to know what questions each essay asks or answers. Okay? Asks and answers. I don't want you to be able to tell me an analytical essay analyzes. I want you to know the questions it answers. Okay, so very good. At process essay, how do you do it? How does it work? Or how is it? How was it? All right. What about a comparison and contrast essay?
A compare and contrast essay. Oh, that class, Peter. Oh, go ahead.
I was just about to say that a compare and contrast essay is basically taking this information about a person or subject and saying what's the same about them and what's different about them.
And what are some features of it? What are some of the features of a comparison contrast essay? Now, y'all can be reading this, or you can know it from your past, or you can guess. Does a guess just type, say this is a guess or type guess? What are some of the features of a comparison contrast essay?
Well, I know when you're comparing and contrasting in a paper, you basically explain both sides. You explain what you're comparing, and then you sort of find connections between them and similarities to compare them and their differences to contrast them. So that's my understanding of it.
It can also depend on what approach you take in terms of the way that you're going to compare or contrast them. So for example, you could do point by point. You could say Ife has on a blue shirt and Asha has on a red shirt. Ife's hair is in locks, and Nasha's hair is also in locks, or, you know, whatever. Or you could say, Nasha lives in Trinidad, she wears locks, she has on a blue shirt, she likes blah, 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 blah. And then you could say, Ife lives in Atlanta, she's from Alabama, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So some of it depends on the approach that you take. But it usually requires like some description of whatever you're comparing and contrasting.
Very good. One strategy is a point by point. What's the other strategy? Point by point. That is, in a paragraph, in a single paragraph, you would have Ife's locks, Nasha's locks. Sean's skill, Niall's skill. Okay? So that's point by point within a paragraph. What's another strategy for how do you write a comparison and contrast essay? Okay. All right. So y'all didn't read the homework either. And that is, it's called block. Well, then, okay, so you did, so you just chilling, okay? Oh, you don't remember, okay. The one is block. So in a paragraph, I'm not doing point by point. I'm just talking all about Brother Balagoon's style. And then later on in another block or paper, I'm talking about Sean's style. Okay, of teaching, and I'm comparing them, but I'm not doing point by point. Okay, I'm letting the reader get into Balagoon and his style, and then get into Sean and his style. Okay, so those are the two different strategies there. Now I'm going to have us look at a expository essay, explanatory essay using creativity. And in the next class, which is normally test prep, you will have to generate an essay. So you're going to you can choose whichever one of the three that you are behind on, and generate the essay. It would be great if you generated two, and during that period. But just hold on for a second so that we can look at. While I'm uploading this, I am available any questions in terms of understanding that. Also, you were to answer the questions in writing for each one of those three chapters, okay? So I'm going to back off the talk now, but now ask any questions about those three kinds of essays because you have to produce one next period.
Is any of those essays or how to write them in homework and in the PDF files, because my computer was acting up, so I didn't get to read the homework. But just so I know where to go when I'm reading it, is it in there? Like for the process papers, I think it's the only one I don't know how to do.
Are you saying are the directions in there, or are you saying like is there a lesson about it?
Yeah, I'm saying that the directions, examples, or anything like that I can use, because otherwise I might have to look it up.
Yeah, it's in there. It's the one before comparison and contrast. The one about the dictionary writing, that was the lesson for the process.
Okay, thank you.
Folks, there are examples for each one of them. Okay, examples for each one of them. Can you right now pull out? Let me know if you have the book. You know, you have the material in front of you. Whether that's in front of you electronically or in front of you physically. Give me Annie or Debbie, yes or no. I don't care if it's all in one file. That is, do you have the part that you need in front of you? Okay, so Safia, what's up? Why you don't have it in front of you? Akilah, it's the same ones we've been talking about, sister. It's the expository section, okay? And it's the same essays, analytical. You have the section, the narrative section, and the expository section, okay? And then within each section, there are various lessons. How come it won't download on your computer, Safia? And how come you ain't called nobody, me, and asked for help? And 2 weeks. Now you actually supposed to have it. You certainly can download it from that computer, and you can also view it online. You really don't even have to download it. You can view it online. That's how it's set up. Okay, so Safia, you have it. Is that what you're saying? Oh, you have it on your laptop. Okay, now do you know how to access it now? Since you don't have your laptop, do you know how to see it online without downloading?
Online, at least on mine, when you open it, it's like skewed the wrong way. It's not rotated yet, so I have to download it to rotate it.
That's right. You're absolutely right. All right. This, and I know it'll take us about a minute to read this. It's called Wayne's Private Address. It was written during an Aya summer camp, and the assignment was an explanatory essay. Now, we said an explanatory essay is a how-to essay. So if you gave me directions to your house, Sophia, would that be an explanatory essay? If you wrote an essay explaining to me how to get from my house to yours, would that be explanatory? I got you, Akilah. You got to give me about 5 minutes, and you'll take it on the other end. Please answer, Sophia. What do y'all think? If Sophia gave me directions to her house, would that be an expository essay? If you hold on, Nasha, everybody will be going in just a second. So if you just and give me a few minutes, please. We'll all be breaking out of here in just 1 second. Yes, it would be an expository essay, okay? And this particular essay that you can chew on over lunch is one that you will particularly appreciate, I think, because it combines what is the next section, that is, how do you put pieces together, put these creative pieces, narrative and other pieces together to do expository essay. And so this young student was asked to do an explanatory essay. She had to give a friend directions. She had to give a friend directions to her best friend's heart. Y'all with me? She had to give her friend directions to her best friend's heart. Now think about, how would you do that? How would you give somebody directions to your best friend's heart? Like, this is a boy who was trying to get to her best friend's heart, and she had to give directions.
You're not on the mic.
Not on the mic. Thank you, Faye. Gee whiz. You got to give them specific directions. He don't want to miss this address. If he misses this, he may never get another shot. All right, so given that, let me tell you what this student did. And so let's have let me know. Let's have a sister. It was Baba Sean's heart. Tell him to start the stomach. Okay. That's great. Okay. Let's see, Nasha, how about read this, please? It's called Wayne's Private Address. You can start after the title, Wayne's Private Address.
After you found parking lot, good, your confessions, you're going to make a right at Forget Me Not Love, Letters Street. You keep going until you see Guessing Highway and wondering if she got your letters. And if so, did she love them? This highway has a lot of twists and turns, and you can lose your way. But you ask for it. You keep going until you see two exits, Deep Desire E and True Love W. Take exit True Love and go down until you pass three stoplights and take the right at Commitment Road. After that, commitment will lead you into a lovely place called Bliss Boulevard. Make a stop at First Love, where Wayne will be waiting with open arms.
Okay. All right, Akila. Thank you, Nasha. Mo, Akila, would you read it once more? Just read it once more. With a little pizzazz.
Okay. After you pull out of the parking lot of Good First Impressions, you're going to make a right at Forget Me Not Love Letter Street. You keep going until you see Gessing Highway North, wondering if she got your love letters and if so, did she love them? This highway has a lot of twists and turns, and you can lose your way, but you asked for it. You keep going until you see two exits, Deep Desire E and True Love Way. Take exit True Love and go down until you pass three stoplights and take a right at Commitment Road. After that, Commitment Road will lead you into a lovely place called Bliss Boulevard. Make a stop at First Love, where Wayne will be waiting with open arms.
Mook. All right. Just what y'all think of that as a way to y'all back out here. What do you think of that? Great. So expository writing does not have to be dull and boring. And this is a picture of the author at that Nefertari White during that summer camp. Again, this is an example of expository writing and using your creativity to do it. Clearly, she knows how to give directions, don't you think? All right, and with that, folks, go ahead and have your lunch. You have your full 30-minute lunch. Come back here. I will not be here. I'm going to be with the other students in language arts, the class that Mama Nabantu normally has. I will be doing that class, and she will be assisting me. So you will be writing and one or more of your papers, and I want to see something produced that you can give at the end of class, okay? All right, have a good class, have a good lunch, and then come back and have a good class. All right, appreciation, you got it. She's probably, I can get in touch with her, and she would love to come back. This summer camp changed her life. Changed her whole life, okay? And she tells you that. And so she is in college, and it'd be great for her to come online and tell you about her summer with iEducation. She lived in Connecticut. I don't know where she's living right now, where she's going to college. All right. We'll see if we can find her. See if she can log in and talk to you about that.
Okay. I appreciate everyone for coming to class, for participating, for giving all that they have, for doing their best. And I appreciate Brother Sean for coming in and observing and participating. It was great having you here. And I'll see y'all in Kiswahili.
So, Sean, thanks for hanging. Let's talk a little bit. What do you think? Give me some feedback from you.
And I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I'm just trying to slow my brain down. I'm having a lot of ideas of, you know, different ways that you could spice it up and things. So, but this is great. I'm just loving it. I'm tripping that we got people in Trinidad and things in the room.
Wonderful. And I love it. Any number of ideas to spice it up and whatever. One of the things that I used to do is start every class with a song. In the morning we start with song or video, but I used to start all classes with one. Kind of falling out of that, not for any particular reason. But any ideas, we're game, for. So that's just great. That's what I love. All right.
I'm ready to get started.
All right, so we'll meet tomorrow, and then from there, we will be ready to jump on off. Appreciate you hanging with your babe and all of that. You know, if you want to hang with them when they come back from lunch, you know, you can. They're basically going to be writing, should be writing their papers and that kind of thing. I'm going to be switching over, and I'm going to break now so I can, you know, it's not a class that I've had, so I got to figure out what I'm going to do today. And then, you know, just model for Mama Nabantu how to really keep students engaged, engaging them and stuff like that. They're a younger group of students, and the purpose of that course really is to get them to get into writing, and, you know, with some grammar, but really get into writing and producing a lot of stuff, even if it's short stuff. So, all right, my brother, I'm going to take this break myself because I'll be right back on it in a minute. Take care. You got it. What's your question?
So there's two different groups happening. In this morning's class, that wasn't all the students. They weren't all in the same conference room.
No, there were students. The younger students were in Origins of World Civilization, and the other students were with me. Now, sometimes, for example, the younger students can audit a senior course if they have a break during that period. Basically, we're also, some students only take one or two courses from us. Most students take all of them, but you have Keshu and Sesa and Mali who only take one course, and you have Allende who doesn't come on Friday. And so my work is to double the enrollment so we can, you know, get solid, because right now that's what we need.
I'll save the rest of my questions for tomorrow so you can go have your break. What time are you wanting to meet tomorrow?
Hold on just a second. How about 3:00, brother?
Should be fine. You want me to come out there, or are we going to do it over the phone, or what?
Either way, what's your preference, brother?
Fine for me either way. I don't really have a preference. Either way works.
Great, and you know, we're here, so if you want to come, you come. If you want to do it over the phone, it may save you a trip. I mean, Afia says she prefers a conference room over the phone, so we can agree to meet in the Sankofa Word conference room, because it'll be math and science pretty much tomorrow. So, Sankofa Word.